You doing good? All right. All I can see is lights. Danny, can we go to something a little softer? All right. Oh, that's a little better. Good deal. All right. So tonight I want to talk to you about one of my favorite analogies in the Bible. I think it's awesome that the Bible is so rich in rhetoric and in rhetorical devices and language. To me, it's amazing that such an ancient manuscript or such a collection of ancient manuscripts has such an abundance of analogies and metaphors and similes. And I find it amazing, and I find it really beautiful how God weaves everything together in such a beautiful tapestry. And I want to talk to you about the analogy, one of the analogies for life, because we've always wondered and we've always questioned and we've always tried to figure out how do we live our lives? How do we make our lives worthy? How do we live our lives in such a way as to make a difference? How do I survive in this world that I live in? How do I live and fly under the radar or however, whatever analogy we use in our everyday life, but how do I do it to stay out of trouble and do the right thing and just live an abundant life? We all want to live that kind of life. So I want to talk to you about that analogy tonight and I want to talk to you about running to win, the analogy of running, because the Bible also weaves together, especially in the New Testament, but also in the Old, the idea that life is like a race. Our life is like running a race. And so when we're running this race, there are certain characteristics of the races that if we apply to our spiritual life will really help us in living the kind of life that's going to bless us and bless us tremendously. I want to talk to you about three different kinds of races that I think we can learn a lot from. And whether you've ever done track and field or not, whether you've ever raced or not, I think we all at one point in elementary school had to race and run, and I don't think what I'm going to talk to you is unfamiliar. But I think we sometimes miss the spiritual lessons that are so clear in these kind of analogies in the Bible. I want to talk to you about obstacle courses or obstacle races, like running hurdles, where you're racing, but you're not only racing. You're racing and you're having to overcome one obstacle after another obstacle after another obstacle. I want us to look at life and say life is like a long-distance run, like a cross-country run. It's not a 100-yard sprint. 100 meters, it's a long distance run. And I want to talk about life as a relay race. And all of those are clearly visible in Scripture. And I want to start with one of my favorite verses from the Apostle Paul, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, 7. We're going to look at several Bible passages. Would it be easier for you if we turned on the lights? Huh? Yeah, so let's get the lights. Marcos is going to turn them on. You can leave the stage lights off. We'll just get those lights. And that way you can look up the passages, because we're going to look at several. Each analogy has certain Bible passages that are really, really good. 2 Timothy 4, 7. This is a short verse packed with two analogies that Paul writes in one verse. Like, Paul is like the master of this. He says to Timothy, his son, his spiritual son, his disciple, he says, I have fought the good fight. There's one analogy. Life is like a fight, isn't it? It seems like we have to fight everything. It's a constant battle, but we're not going to talk about that one today. He says, I have finished the race. It's another way to look at life, and that's the one we're going to look at. And I have remained faithful. The bottom line is, I've kept my faith. That's how the NIV says that I've kept my faith. In other words, Paul is reaching the end of his journey. Paul understands that he's got a short time to live. He's going to die. So he's given Timothy, his disciple, a lot of advice. He's his parting words, but to his disciple. Parting instructions, if you would. And so he compares his life. He reflects on his life, and he says to Timothy, you know, my life has been a big fight, like a real big fight. But you know what? I finished the fight. And he says, my life has been like this wild race. And you know what? I finished the race. And in spite of the fight and in spite of the race, I've kept my faith. I've been able to come out ahead. I've been able to win. In other words, I faced what was thrown at me. I dealt with what I had to deal with, and I came out on top. I have kept my faith. So what I want you to take today, the message or the main idea I want you to take today, is that to finish the race, we have to understand the principles of the race. To win the race, you got to understand the principles of the race. So let's start with an obstacle course, an obstacle race. If any of you watched that that ninja, American ninja thing, oh my goodness. How do they even make it through that course? That's crazy. I mean, I this has been going on for a while. Before that, they had that crazy Japanese show where everybody falls and everybody gets beat up, but it's all obstacle courses. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. When we look at our lives, isn't our life like that? If you think about it, different times in your life where everything is going well and all of a sudden you run into this big obstacle and the surprises and something comes out of left field, there's another analogy for you. It's like constantly we're being surprised, we're being bombarded, we're faced with, you know, we have to deal with this problem and that other problem, and then things are going okay and here's another issue I have to deal with, another struggle I have to fight with, you know, I have to, and it's like we're running, but it's hard to get a pace going. It's hard to get a rhythm going because you're constantly having to stop to deal with, you know, these kind of obstacles in our lives. And I want to list just some of the obstacles that I think are really hindering the way we run our race. By the way, an obstacle is something that obstructs or hinders progress. We kind of know that. And so spiritually speaking, when we talk about obstacles, we're talking about things that are keeping us from doing everything God would have us do. Things that are keeping us from living the kind of life God would have us live. Those are obstacles, things that are keeping us from just living the God life in our lives, walking the talk. We all, I would think we all want to walk the walk and do it right, but we keep running into these things. And what are these obstacles? The first obstacle, the biggest obstacle, is me. You are your own biggest obstacle. We have to overcome me. We have to overcome that I. And what do I mean by that? How can you be an obstacle in your own race? How could you be an obstacle in your own race? Well, think about it. Think about, in real life, think about an actual race, okay? What do runners do before they run? Well, they train, they stretch, all that. But what happens up here? You got to psych yourself up. If you go into a race thinking you're going to lose, you're going to lose. If you go into a race not really wanting to run, you're not going to win. The only winner of the race is you go in there. You got to be determined. You got to be convinced. You got to be pumped. You got to be ready. You got to be on fire. I mean, your mind. So in the spiritual walk, sometimes our mind, ourselves, we hinder ourselves. We put obstacles up for ourselves. We challenge ourselves in this run. And I love the way Paul puts it, because this is Paul's analogy, right? So when we look at Paul talking about obstacles and in this race, you know, he mentions several of them in Romans. So go with me to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to see how I am an obstacle in my own race, in my own walk, in my own life. Romans 7, we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Romans 7, 18 and 19. I'm reading New Living Translation, but you can read, you know, your translation. Here's what mine says, okay? Romans 7, 18 and 19. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Do you hear Paul's frustration? Paul is saying, look, I'm my own worst enemy. Like, I want to do what is good, and then I don't do it. I don't want to do what is wrong, and then my sinful nature attracts me to it. And it's this internal struggle that sometimes the biggest obstacle we have to overcome is ourselves. That sinful nature we carry with us that just gets in the way of us doing what God would have us do and running the life, that the race that we want to run, that we want to win, that God wants us to run. Same book of Romans, next chapter, chapter 8. He continues talking about how we are an obstacle to ourselves. Romans 8, verses 7, 8, and 9. Listen to what he says. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying, look, in this race, if you set out in this race of life and let your sinful nature run for you, you're going to lose. You're not going to make it. You can't please God. You can't. Where does our sinful nature take us? To death and to more suffering. So what is he saying? You got to run this race in the Spirit of God. You got to let the Spirit of God be in control of your life. And that's how you're going to win this race. That's how you overcome this me that's an obstacle. And the third verse, I'm just going to read it to you. It's Galatians 2:20. And it also talks about how I'm an obstacle. In Galatians 2:20, it says it this way. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Did you get that? I'm dead. It's no longer I. If I'm alive, things are bad. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I can't live for myself. I got to live for God. I can't live for Juan. I have to live for Christ in me. It's not what Juan wants. It's what Christ wants. It's not what Juan likes. It's what Christ likes. It's not what would Juan do. It's what would Jesus do. It's the idea is it's Christ in me that's got to be the runner in the race. It's not, I'm not running the race. It's Christ in me running this race. That's the only way we're going to win. That's the only way we're going to overcome ourselves. Now, that's been a battle all of our lives, and that will always be a battle because that's our sinful nature. Same passage in chapter 7, Paul says, how can I get rid of this sinful nature? Like, who can help me get rid of this? Because it's one day we're not going to have to carry it around with us anymore. But until then, we're going to continue in this obstacle. We just have to be focused on overcoming our own impediments, our own obstacles that we put up. Now, there's other obstacles. Sometimes other people are obstacles in the race. You have false teachers. Sometimes you have false teachers, people teaching strange things. And you know what? Those are obstacles to keep you from running this race and winning. And Paul, Paul, same guy, same analogy, says to the Galatians, he started a church in Galatia. They were doing great. He preached to them. He taught them. He set them up. And then he went to open another church. And then he gets a word from somebody. Hey, you know that the church in Galatia is all messed up. He says, what do you mean it's messed up? I opened it. I started it. Everything's working. Was working well. What happened? Well, some guys came from Jerusalem. And they started teaching all this crazy stuff about how even though you're a Christian, you still got to obey the law. And you got to circumcise yourself. And you got to do all the men have to be circumcised. And all of this stuff. Or else you're not saved, and the Spirit is not for us, and all of this stuff. And Paul is saying, like, and they listened to him? And they listened to him? And so he writes them a letter. The letter to the Galatians is written in a very hostile tone. And one of the verses in chapter 5 says this. It goes back to our running, the obstacle here. It says, you were running the race so well. Galatians 5:7. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? You guys were running. You were on task. You were on your good pace. You were running to win, and then you run into this obstacle. Somebody comes along and derails you completely. Completely derails you. And that's why you need to know the Word of God. That's why you need to study God's Word. That's why you need to know the truth so that nobody can derail you. You're running this race of life, and you're going to run into all kinds of weird ideas. Trust me. If you don't run into weird ideas every day, I don't know where you live. But, like, there's weird ideas everywhere. You turn on the radio and there's weird ideas. You work with people who have weird ideas. You go to school with people who have weird ideas. Magazines come up with weird. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's weird ideas. There's wrong ideas. There are things that are not truthful. And if you follow any of those ideas, you're lost. You're not going to finish this race well. It's a distraction that will keep you from running the race. And I can't tell you how many times people contact me and say, hey, you know, I heard about this. What do you think about that? Because they've encountered a false teacher. They've encountered something weird, you know. And why? And how come, you know, I have a friend who started going to the Church of Christ, and now, you know, they're being baptized again. They were already baptized in our church, and now they're being baptized again. Like, what's the deal? Well, you got to be careful what you do. Well, and they say that if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. Okay. What does the Word of God say? Did the guy on the cross get baptized in water? The guy on the cross did not. No. The guy on the cross next to Jesus, he didn't get baptized. And God said to him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. So, okay. That's what the Word of God says. So you got to be careful. There's a lot of weird things out there. A lot of teachings, you know, there's a lot of New Age stuff, a lot of spirituality out there, and you know what? That will derail you from the race. You gotta stay pure. You gotta stay clean. You gotta listen to good teachers. Don't waste your time with people you don't know. Listen to only good people, good speakers, trusted speakers that and edify. Read books written by people you know are good authors. Otherwise, you're gonna be derailed. And know your word. Sometimes it's not false teachers. Sometimes the obstacles are families and friends. Families and friends. Our families can be an obstacle to running this race. I've seen the extreme cases of families that have been an obstacle for somebody to run the race. We had one girl that was in this church for a while when we first started. And then she came up to me and she says, I'm not coming anymore. And I said, why is that? She says, my mom won't let me. I said, what do you mean your mom won't let you go to church? Yeah, she says, I'm a little nun. That I become a little nun, that I'm too young, that I have to experience life, that I have to go partying and clubbing and all this. You know, and I'm saying, really? So she's not going to let you go to church, but she wants you to go do all of that? Yeah, she wants me to live life. I'm young. Wow. That's a family member, that's a parent getting in the way of a race being run. I know that person will live to regret that decision. But there's nothing we can do sometimes about these things. Parents sometimes get in the way. A boyfriend that doesn't know Christ, a girlfriend that doesn't know Christ, a spouse that is unsaved, that is non-Christian, they're going to pull one way. This one person wants to go to church and the unsaved one says, no, let's not go. Let's go out here. Let's go there. There's always that obstacle to run this race. Sometimes it's not even family. Sometimes it's friends. It's friends that, hey, you know, come on, what are you doing in church? You're wasting your life in there. I mean, come on, why do you always have to go to church? You can miss one day. It's no big deal. Why don't you come with me? Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go here. Let's go there. Come on, it's going to be fun. You're going to love it. Let's go. Let's hang out. And you were running race. You were doing great. And then you start slowly. And I could give you names and addresses of people that were here. Friends came into their life and derailed them. They're not here. And they're not in any church. They're not going anywhere. And they're not running this race. Right now, they're lost as lost can be. And what happened? They were running really good. They ran into an obstacle and they did not overcome the obstacle. The obstacle overcame them. And you go to the Bible and you see this everywhere. Abraham had to leave his whole family. God says, before I can do anything with you, you got to leave your whole family. I got to take you somewhere where you don't know anybody so I can do something with you. Apparently, his family was going to be an obstacle. And you see that in the Word of God. And then you have other, you know, we can be an obstacle. We can have other people be obstacles in our lives in this race. And sometimes it's not even people. Sometimes it's circumstances. Difficult circumstances become an obstacle in our lives for us running the race. You know, if you look at the Word of God, you know, the people of God have always had to deal with circumstances that are difficult. When they left Egypt, everything was great. We've been set free. Now we have a Red Sea in front of us. That's an obstacle. And they had to deal with it. They were going great until they got to the ocean. They said, oh, well, now what do we do? Then they, 40 years later, they're about to conquer the Promised Land, and now there's a river between them and the Promised Land. It seems like there's always an obstacle between what God wants for you and where you are in your life. I know this is what God wants for me, but I have to get past this obstacle in my life. I have to overcome this challenge, whatever that may be. There's always a river we got to cross. And you know what? You can't cross it without God's help. And the wonderful thing about this race is that we're in this race, not in this race alone. God is with us. So when you run into these obstacles that you cannot deal with, guess what? He can. And he does. The people didn't run over the water of the Jordan. They didn't walk on water. They didn't, you know, build a bridge and get over the Jordan. No, God opened it for them. God allowed them to cross. God deals with obstacles in our lives that way. He's good at it. But we need to be relying on him and depending on him. You know what a lot of people do? There was two tribes of the Jewish people that when they saw the Jordan River and they saw everything and they realized, hey, wait a minute, where's that map? Hey, this is the land we inherit on this side of the river. We don't even have to cross. So you guys cross and deal with and fight. We're already home. There's always people that just, you know, they settle for whatever. They don't want to deal with the obstacles and they give up. They walk up and they see that river and say, I can't cross this. Let me go back to Egypt. And they said that to Moses. We don't want to deal with this. Let's just go back. You know, you can't go back. If you go back, you lost the race. You didn't finish the race. The idea here is Paul is saying, look, I've dealt with a lot of stuff, but I finished the race. And we got to finish this race. The obstacles can't turn you back. You know, sometimes it's obstacles that seem insurmountable. There's another story in the Bible about running into an obstacle like that. It's Caleb. Caleb was promised a certain land. And in Joshua 14, he goes up to, he's 85 years old. And he goes to Joshua, hey, Joshua, you remember when we were young? Remember when we were 40, when I was 45 and God said he was going to give me that mountain for me? Yeah, I remember that. Well, I want it. So give me the okay and I want to go take my land. And it's like, well, are you sure? I mean, that's what God promised you, but there's Amalek is here. Amalek is there and he's got all these fortified cities. And these walls, and I mean, how are you going to deal with that? Caleb said, hey, don't worry about it. I'm the same guy that I was 40 years ago. I'll take it. I'll eat him up. That's my land. God gave me that. Nobody's going to stop me. And at 85, and he went, and he took that mountain, and he conquered it, and he dealt with all those fortified cities and wiped them out and took his place, his possession. So you're talking about somebody that faced a difficult circumstance. He could have said, you know what, I'm 85, whatever. What's the point now, you know? I don't need anything else. I didn't get it. What God promised me, I didn't get it. Well, whatever. Somebody else will get it. That wasn't his attitude. Circumstances were not going to stop him. Did he have to deal with them? Yes, he dealt with them. You know, then you have Elijah, another example of somebody who had to deal with obstacles in his life. You know, he's doing really well. He's running the race really good. He was flashing through that race. Killed those 400 and something Baal worship guys and he's on a roll, man. He's prophesizing. God is doing. He stopped the rain with God's. God stopped the rain through him. And all of these things are happening. And then he runs into an obstacle. Like he ran into a wall. He was going really fast. And then, boom, he hit a wall. What happened? Jezebel. Hey, Elijah, you're dead. You're dead meat, bro. You got 24 hours to live. By this time tomorrow, I'm going to be feeding you to my dogs. He ran into a wall. Now, he didn't want to deal with that obstacle. What did he do? He got depressed. We do that sometimes. He wanted to quit. We do that sometimes. He sat under a tree and said, God, I just want to die. I don't know you, but I've done that sometimes. It's like we don't want to deal with obstacles sometimes. We run into something like, really, I don't want to deal with this. Yeah, I forget it. You know, that's it. But you don't finish a race that way. You don't finish a race that way. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. You can't give up. I was telling the church on Sunday morning. It's like this is a fixed boxing fight. This is the analogy I gave the church on Sunday. You're in a boxing fight, and the fight is fixed. You're going to win. Like, bet whoever's betting, they better bet on you because you're going to win. It's already been taken care of. Before you ever got in the ring, it was decided you were going to win. And you know you're going to win, and they told you, hey, don't worry about it. You got this. You're going to win. It's going to look hard and good and whatever, but you're going to win. And then in the last round, you throw in the towel. No, I quit. What are you talking about? How can you quit? You're going to win. What are you quitting for? And that's what we do sometimes. We're in a fight that we are going to win, and we quit. Like, that's the only way you don't win. It's like, you quit. And you can't. You can't let these circumstances put you down. God told him, hey, get up, eat, and go. You still got a long way to go, bro. I'm not going to take you home. I'm not going to kill you. You're not going to die. And you're going to deal with Jezebel. And you're going to move on. She's not going to touch you. You're going to deal with it. I'm with you. You're going to overcome. We need to be able to deal with obstacles and face them and overcome them. We need to be able to run that way. Now, the second kind of race is the long distance race. So we've seen that life is like a race, and it's like an obstacle course. But you know what? We can overcome that. And now, think of life as a long race, a long distance race. Think about life that way. You know, and in Hebrews, it gives us a good advice to running long distance races. So I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it's going to talk to us about running long distance races. And let's pick up some principles from there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Think about that. Talking about running with endurance. What can we pick up with that? The first thing he says is, hey, before you gotta strip off all that extra weight you got on you. You can't run this race if you're bogged down with sin in your life, bogged down with guilt, bogged down with all this extra weight that you're not supposed to carry, all these burdens and troubles. Imagine in a real life if you have to run a long distance race and you have to run it with somebody on your shoulders. Imagine I have to run, you know, 5 kilometers, but I have to do it with Joe on my shoulders. How far am I going to get? Not very far. Neither is Joe. You can't. You got to be light. You got to let go of anything that's going to weigh down on you so that you can run. Even then, I might not make it. You know, but the idea is we carry all this weight on us. You know, we carry a lot of guilt with us. Sometimes before we came to Christ, we did some bad stuff. We did not, we have some luggage that we carry. We have some baggage, you know, from things that we are not proud of. Or even as Christians, and we don't let go of that weight. And while we're carrying it, you can't run. It's impossible to run when you're bogged, loaded down. And so you come to Christ, or you ask God to forgive you because you're already a Christian. And the Bible says he forgives you. It says if anybody has sinned, you have an attorney. You have Christ. He's a mediator. He intercedes on your behalf. And you're forgiven. But we don't want to be forgiven that easily. We feel like we have to pay for it somehow. And we carry these burdens. It's like, imagine, you've seen hitchhikers. I mean, you see less and less of them today because of all the movies and all the bad stuff that happens to hitchhikers or the people that pick them up. But imagine a hitchhiker who's got, you know, a ton of bags and he's on the side of the road and he wants a ride and he wants a, you know, somebody to pick him up, and a pickup truck stops to pick him up. And so he's carrying a huge backpack and 2 large suitcases. And what does he do? He climbs on top of the back of the pickup truck, and he's standing there with all his luggage. He says, okay, we can go now. It's like, wait a minute. Why are you carrying it? Put it down on the pickup truck and sit inside. You don't have to carry it anymore. The truck is going to carry all your bags for you. But picture that. That's what we do. We come to Christ, and Christ says, here, I'll take that. Here, You can dump it on me. You don't have to carry this. I got it. I took care of it at the cross. But no, we want to keep carrying it. We hold on to it. And that keeps us from running. How are you going to win a race? How are you going to finish the race if you're so loaded you can't even run? And that's what Paul is saying, or the author to the Hebrews is saying. Strip off all the weight that slows us down and let us run this race with endurance. With endurance. Let us run this race that God has set before us. You know, you can't, sometimes that burden is a lot of times it's our past. And for Paul, it was his past. You read the Philippians, and he tells them, he says to the Philippians in chapter 3, he says, I'm going after the prize that God gave, called me to. God called me to do this, and I got my eyes set on it, and I'm going. But the only way I'm going to get there is if I can forget the past. He says it. I have to let go of what's behind me and reach out to what's in front of me. What did Paul have behind him? A pretty bad past. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Paul killed Christians. So how am I going to serve Christ if I killed Christians? Like, con qué cara, with what face am I going to serve God and talk to people about Jesus when I've killed these people that follow Jesus, when I've thrown Christians in jail, when I broke up families, when I did all these horrible things. The only way he was going to be able to serve Christ is if he put that behind him, dropped that, forgot that, and just pressed forward. And that's what he says to the Philippians. That's what I had to do. I had to put everything behind me and just focus on what I needed to do for God and run the race. And that's what you do when you have a long-distance race. Long-distance races also require patience. They require patience. You see runners, and when runners start races, long-distance races, they don't start full speed. If they start full speed, they burn out. They run out of energy before they get anywhere near the finish line. They have to pace themselves, pace themselves, pace themselves, and keep enough energy so when they get near the end, instead of slowing down, they can accelerate for the last section of the race. That requires a lot of training, a lot of practice, a lot of patience. We're not like that sometimes. We want to run like a million miles an hour, and this is a long-term thing. Things take time. You have to have patience. You want God to answer all your prayers right now? No, relax. He's going to get to it. He's going to answer them at his time. It's going to be his right time. It's not when you want it. Oh, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. Hey, slow down. Why don't you first take the right steps? It's like sometimes we're newborns and we want to run a marathon. Hello, you got to learn how to crawl first. Before you don't talk to me about marathons. Let's crawl. And then let's wobble. You know, as we learn to walk and fall. And then we can maybe run a little bit. I mean, there's steps. And in the Christian walk, if you try to go too fast, you burn out. You won't be able to make it. You have to take a pace. And you have to slowly and patiently grow. You grow in knowledge. You grow in your relationship with Christ. You grow in intimacy with God. You grow in your prayer. You grow in God's word. And as the more you grow, the bigger you're going to be spiritually, the better pace you're going to run in this race, and you're going to be able to endure. It's a long-distance race, and it requires us to keep our eyes on the finish line. It's very easy in a race that this, as long as our life is, for us to lose sight of what the goal is. It's very easy for us to be distracted. We have spiritual ADD, all of us. It's like we can be so easily distracted from following what Christ has called us to do. And in a long, especially in long races, when you have a 100-meter race, the line is right there. I mean, you can't lose sight of it. You take off, and before you, 10 seconds later, you cross the line. But when you have a long-distance race, and you don't see the line yet, you don't know where that line is, you're just running, but you got to run towards with your eye on Christ, your eye on the prize. That's what it says. Isaiah says it beautifully. You know, Isaiah talks to us also about this long-distance race. And Isaiah says, you know what, sometimes we get tired, and it's okay. And it's okay to get tired. Our strength doesn't come from us. It comes from Christ. Listen to these beautiful words that Isaiah uses about running this race in chapter 40. It says, even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What do we get from that passage? First of all, that in a long-distance race, sometimes you're going to be flying. Sometimes you're going to be running. Sometimes you're going to be walking. But you're always moving towards the prize, always walking towards what God wants for your life. And it's not about how old you are or how strong you are, because it's not you, it's God. Without God's help, you can't finish this race. It's not about anything but how connected you are to God, whether you're going to do well in this race or not. And the last kind of race, we've seen an obstacle race and a long distance race. The last one I want to finish with tonight is a relay race. From Genesis to Revelation, God tells us that this life, this race that we're in, it's a relay race. From Genesis to Revelation, that is one of the common themes of all of Scriptures. All of Scriptures tells us, you know what? You prepare the next generation. You pass the baton to the next generation. You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You invest in the next generation. You pour into the next generation. You multiply yourself. You transfer your inheritance to the next generation. That's biblical. From A through Z, that's biblical. That's why the Bible talks about parents teaching your kids. That's why the Bible talks about discipleship. It's training people. It's the teachers training the younger new converts so that they could train other people, so that they can train the next people, and the legacy continues. It's a relay race. What happens in a relay race if somebody drops the baton? That team doesn't win the race. doesn't win the race. Sometimes they don't even finish the race. You can't drop the baton. And the hardest thing to do in a relay race is transfer the baton. That's the hardest part of the race. Everybody there runs lightning fast. Everybody on a relay team runs lightning fast. But where do we mess up? Transferring the baton. It's a technique. That's what you practice when you practice for relay race. And in the spiritual life, that's what happens. We drop the baton. There are so many ministries that are centered on one person. And if that person passes away, the ministry has to close because there's nobody to follow. Because the baton hasn't been transferred. People haven't trained others. People haven't, you know, invested in other people. We all have to do this. We all have to invest in the next generation. If you're not pouring yourself into somebody else, if you're not discipling somebody, you need to disciple somebody. You need to have somebody in your life that you could be discipling, training, talking to, teaching the Word of God to, so they could teach it to somebody else. And when we don't do it, the consequences are horrible. I preach a message called The Three Chairs that I talk just about that, dropping that baton. And it's based on Judges, a sad passage in Judges. I'll read you the passage because it shows exactly what happens when you drop the baton. Listen to this, Judges chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Joshua, we all know who Joshua was, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Listen to this. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, after that whole generation died, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Baton dropped. How could the next generation, after Joshua's generation, not know God? Like, how? How does that happen? How did Joshua's children or grandchildren not know God? Somebody dropped the baton. They didn't know God or what he had done for Israel. They didn't know the history. They didn't know anything. How does that happen? That's the equivalent of my saying, okay, I'm a pastor of the church with my wife. We pastor a church, but my kids, they don't know who God is. Like, that's the equivalent. Like, how does that happen? How do you lead people in doing God's will and then the next generation has no idea who God is? You drop the baton. There was a whole generation there that didn't think it was important to teach the next generation about God and what he had done for Israel. Baton dropped. And that took them into 350 years of slavery and horrible, horrible times, the times of the judges. They suffered a lot because of that. So in conclusion tonight, there's three kinds of races that we've looked at. And from each, we've picked up some key points. But the point is that we need to take with us is we're in the race. We're all in this race. Life is like a race. That's the analogy. From the Word of God, life is like a race. You're either going to win the race or you're not. You're going to finish or you're not. For us Christians, it's about crossing the finish line. And we've already been told by our trainer, by our coach, by God who saved us, that we can do it. That the victory is ours. That no matter what obstacle we encounter, we can overcome every hurdle. We can jump every hurdle. We can have the victory over every hurdle. No matter how long the distance is, we can endure it and run it with patience and endure it. We can overcome. And no matter, you know, how hard it may be, we can transfer it to the next generation. That's exactly what Paul was doing to Timothy. Timothy, I'm leaving. I finished the fight. I fought a good fight. I finished a race. And I've kept the faith. And then he gives him a whole book of instructions. He's passing the baton to Timothy. When Paul died, who kept going? Timothy. When Timothy died, who kept going? The people Timothy had discipled. When they died, who kept going? The people they had discipled. So Paul started this relay race, and he made sure that it kept going. And that's our responsibility as well. So tonight, as we conclude, hopefully you can one day, when this time comes in your life, you'll be able to say, you know what? I finished the race, and I kept the faith. But to get to that point, to cross that finish line, today we have to struggle. Today we have to fight. Today we have to run. Today we have to deal with everything else that we've come up with, that we come up with that life throws our way. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. What's the tendency? We want to quit. The tendency is to quit. Let's not quit. That's not quit. You can't quit a fight you already won. How do you quit when you already won? You just have to endure. You just have to hang in there. You have to take a couple more punches in this round, and then it's over. Maybe you have three more rounds to go. But at the end, you're going to win. That's the bottom line. So let's stand up tonight. Yeah, exactly. I love those Rocky movies. They're awesome. He always gets beat to the point of you think he's going to die, and then he comes back and he wins. But for the Christian, sometimes we take beatings. We do, but we can come back and win the race. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of people that are fighting this race, this fight and running this race the way God wanted us to. And every one of us has to face our own challenges, our own struggles. Every one of us has to do it. And we all have to figure out, you know what? The enemy's going to throw more obstacles your way. Sometimes the obstacles come from the enemy. Sometimes they come from God. Because he wants to strengthen us. He wants us to be stronger. He wants us to grow from the experiences. He allows these things to happen. And sometimes it's the enemy. He wants to destroy you. But either way, you can overcome any obstacle that comes your way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight, Lord. I thank you that we can go to your word and see such rich language and such beautiful